Okay, welcome along. It's transfer target time. The money has arrived from the new TV deal. The crowd wants some action. And because we're people of integrity, we're not just going to buy from our favourite agent. Terry Gibson is our expert from La Liga. And here is our assessment of some of the best talent available in the Spanish league to be eaten by the big sharks, either from within the league or from elsewhere. We'll do a couple of these episodes. If you are a football club and you end up spending 50 million quid on the basis of what we say, we would like 5% of it, if that's okay. Right, Terry, we have a long list of targets. They're very good players. We've said before in the regular podcast that it's going to be a busy window in the transfer market. Where should we start? Can we start with Dani Ceballos? Is that all right if we do him? He's been starring in the under-21s tournament again. So he's still a young man. Hasn't played an awful lot for Real Madrid. What, 1,250 minutes, only 13 starts this season. He'll be 23 later this year. Still got a long time on his contract, so they don't have to sell him. So why should my club sign Dani Ceballos? Where is he? How good is he? What level would he go to?
Well, the interesting aspect with Dani Ceballos, I think he's top, really, really top level. I'm mystified as to why. Maybe when he first went to Real Madrid, I thought it might have been a move too soon. He was the start. He literally was the best player of the last under-21 championships. He's still young enough to be playing in it now. And he looks as if he's got a chance of repeating that feat in terms of being the best player again. So the big clubs like Real Madrid and Barcelona, the Bayern Munich, Juventus, United, City, Liverpool, etc. should all be looking at a player that's spent the last two European under-21 championships being the best player. That's a given, surely. Marcus said if he wasn't at Real Madrid, he would be the player that they would be chasing and buying.
Yeah.
Because Florentino Perez loves Spanish players in the team at Real Madrid. And for all those reasons I just said, he's the standout player again. But it's clear he has to move on. So Dan's not going to play him. He's not going to change his mind. New players coming into the squad. So if I'm 100% convinced that his form, it's been okay at Real Madrid, just hasn't played enough, but his form in the under-21 championships will lead him to another big move to another one of the major clubs in Europe. Bayern Munich, I forgot to mention them. He is good enough at 22. He's 11 years younger than Luka Modric. Now, I don't really understand why Real Madrid is in a rush to move him on. I think he's... when I said that the move I thought was too early when he left Betis, I wasn't convinced at that stage that he had the quality to play for Real Madrid. But I am now. So, yeah, big clubs all over Europe should be, you know, trying to do a deal with Real Madrid to take Dani Ceballos.
How good would he be in the Premier League? It's an interesting because he's not the kind of player that we produce in England. It's very much, as we've discussed before, with Gareth Southgate's style, is the missing kind of player that England don't produce. But I think English fans really appreciate that kind of player. I don't think English fans are. I don't think they reflect the stereotype. I think, you know, the little half touches, the back heels, the skills, all of that. I think that would go down really well in the Premier League.
It would, but it has to be for the right team, John. And the right team isn't just a team that likes to play the right way. Dani Ceballos will be, because of his status as a Real Madrid player and a Spanish international, he has to be going to a club that's either in the Champions League or thinking about the Champions League. He's not going to be of any use to a club that's only aim is to survive in the Premier League or to try and finish in the top half. He has to be playing for a team that dominates possession, that relies on players of his quality being able to open up defences. So the idea of him playing for one of the newly promoted teams is a total non-starter because he's going to cost too much money and he wouldn't go there. If he doesn't come to the Premier League, he'll be going to a Milan or an Inter. He's going to be going to a big club. So he'll be going to the club he goes to will dominate possession and he'll be able to show off his true talents. With all due respect, if I was a Burnley fan, I don't think Dani Ceballos would be much use to us. He has to be. I just picked Burnley there because a team that consistently do well to stay not only in the division last season, but normally top half, tried to get to the top half of Watford, someone like that. He has to be playing for a team that's one of the better teams, and then he will thrive.
OK, so let's compare him to another player whose move hasn't really worked out for a lot more money, Philippe Coutinho. So he's currently playing at the Copa America, where he's banged in a couple of goals. It's hard to read the transfer stories with him. Barca would surely sell him. Is it feasible? And for people who haven't necessarily seen him in Spain, how has he been?
Oh, terrible. I'm not going to beat around the bush. Yeah. I still think he's a quality player. It just doesn't fit for him at Barcelona. He hasn't brought anything different. He hasn't fitted in. There was talk of, a few months ago, people said, how are they going to get anywhere near the money back they paid for him? Now, I don't know exactly what they paid. I know there's talk of a lot of add-ons. But when you talk about other fees of other players now, I'm pretty sure actually Barcelona are going to get something around what they paid for him, if I'm being honest. And if he has a good Copa America, that will help. And there will be, he's only been at Barcelona for 18 months, so it's just a loss of form. I think he's a classy player. I don't think he's a fit at Liverpool, at Barcelona, but I'm pretty sure there will be teams around Europe that think 80, 90, 100 million pounds isn't out the question for a player that's shown in the past that he can be, top quality. It just doesn't work for him at Barcelona, I'm afraid.
So what is he? That's the issue with him, isn't it? In that he's not an out and out striker. He's not enough of a midfield player. Do you have to build a squad around him?
Yeah, I think when he's best spent at Liverpool. I didn't watch Liverpool every week. Too busy watching 10 La Liga games a weekend. But I tend to find him as one of those players that would prefer a free role. Now it's kind of worked out for him over the years that he's ended up playing on the left, cutting inside on his right foot. I'm not going to say he's a one-trick pony, but it's quite predictable. If you can stop him cutting inside and unleashing the quality he's got when he bends shots into the top corner, either side of the goalkeeper, I kind of would prefer to see him play in a more central role, either for one striker or for two strikers, and being given that freedom with his quality and his talent to get on the ball, to lose it probably, significant amount of times during a game, but come up with five, six, seven parts in a match where he can, do something special to beat the defence, to create chances, to take chances. At Barcelona, he's been tried in the midfield three, he's been tried in the front three on the left, and it just hasn't worked. And I think it'd probably be best for everyone if he moves on, for him as well, and to get his career, going again in terms of his form and showing everyone what he's capable of again. He's still a top-class player, it doesn't work sometimes at clubs.
OK, let's move on to number three, a deal that looks very much like it's going to be done. Rodrigo from Atletico, Rodrigo Hernandez. And the rumour is Manchester City. So City fans who, again, haven't seen him because, La Liga's moved home in the UK, so people might not necessarily have seen him. What are his qualities? Why is Pep Guardiola so keen to pay a lot of money for this young midfielder?
Clearly because he sees him as the closest thing to being able to replace Fernandinho, where it has been a problem where Fernandinho has been injured. And because we watched England's mess up royally, didn't we, in terms of playing out the back and into players in midfield that, are not comfortable at receiving passes in those positions. Rodri is that player. So he's going to be more than happy to drop in to between the centre-backs. He'll be happy receiving the ball under pressure from his centre-backs. And on top of that, he's an outstanding defensive midfield player in terms of his positional play. So he ticks all the boxes in terms of what Manchester City are looking in for in the long term. He still could have played in the under-21 tournament this summer as well. Your age, he ticks that box, quality, the position that they need, one of the few positions they probably do need strengthening in. And I think Man City are getting an outstanding player in Rodri. Mystified as to why they didn't do it last summer when he was 20 million, but that's the extra money that the Manchester Cities of the world,
yeah,
they
50 million euros, yes, just to make sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly the point I was going to make. Four Nails is another one. 10 million. He went from Malaga to Villarreal, and you know, and now it's been left to West Ham a couple of seasons later to spend 25 million. That's just how the transfer market works.
Rodri's physicality in the Premier League. I know it's a question that everyone always asks about the Premier League. Is he robust enough physically to be a Premier League player?
There's no reason why he shouldn't be. Stature wise, he's, you know, well over 6 foot. As I say, he protects the ball well. The Premier League isn't as strong as it used to be, particularly if you're physical as it used to be. The laws of the game don't allow it. And, you know, if you're a team like Manchester City where you predominantly keep the ball, you don't give the ball away, you're not chasing around, getting it back every 2 or 3 minutes. So, yep, he will have no problem fitting into what we think is the physicality of the Premier League. There'll be tougher games than others. There'll be games where perhaps it's not exactly as he thought it would be. But by and large, Manchester City in the Premier League, you know, do have things their own way. And he'll be a really good signing for Manchester City.
OK, so that's three down. Let's move away from the top three and go down into La Liga. So we might be getting a bargain. I'm not sure. Pablo Sarabia, Terry, is the next name on our list. So he's 27. He's been at Real Madrid, Getafe, and the last 3 years at Sevilla. Scored 23 goals in all competitions in the season just gone. He won 63 youth caps at various levels for Spain, but not made it into the senior side yet. He's had a contract in a year's time. PSG are said to be interested. If you were an English club, would you be looking to try and get involved and get yourself Pablo Sarabia if you could?
Yeah, I think his buyout clause is appealing as well, isn't it? It's less than 20 million euros.
Yeah.
So for a player that scored those goals and has created lots of goals for his teammates as well, he's a really interesting player. He went to Sevilla for 1.5 million euros, and he's just got better and better. So that environment, do you know what? If I was Pablo Sarabia, I know money plays a part. He's not been earning the Neymar money and the Coutinho money that we've been talking about. So money will play a part. And if PSG come along, he's not going to be able to say no. From what I gather, PSG, it's really close to being done. But if I was Pablo Sarabia, just in terms of football, I would stay at Sevilla.
Oh, okay.
Because sometimes a club just fits you. I just spoke about Barcelona not fitting Coutinho. Sarabia is a good fit for Sevilla, how they play. The supporters love him. He'll earn good money. It's a fantastic city to live in. He's going to be playing regular first-team football. He's a star at Sevilla. They would be over the moon if they could get him to sign a new deal. But PSG will probably pay double, three times the amount of money. I'm not sure. He could. I mean, we've seen the how well Lo Celso has done after leaving PSG and going to Betis on loan. I would hate to see that happen to Sarabia. Now, you know, I don't know how the squad is going to be built, assembled at PSG. But if I was a Premier League club, similar situation to Ceballos, he has to play for the right type of team. It'd be a waste to buy him, play him in a 4-4-2 out wide and ask him to track up and down, defending against fullbacks. He's a skillful, talented, creative player. Again, that has to play for a team that likes to play that style of football. So that was my choice. If I was Sarabia, I would be honest, I'd stay at Sevilla.
Well, it's because I'm not sure. I think I'd go to PSG. I don't think just for the money. I think I would like to win a league title in my career and have it.
If you're a starter, though, if you play.
As long as I've played half the games. I think, you know, as long as I played some reasonable part in it, and then, because they do move people on, I know Neymar can't move on because of his price, but Sarabia would get away, wouldn't he? Like Lo Celso got away after a year. So I think I'd be tempted to go to PSG. At that, if I was Sarabia's level, take a league title, take their money, and then see how it goes. But, you know.
They'd come back to Sevilla.
Yeah, yeah. And with PSG paying half
on loan.
Yeah. Right, let's a very different...
We've got, it, we've God, it's sussed.
Yeah, I know, it's slightly cynical. Sorry, PSG, but that's my advice. I'm the new Mino Raiola. Yeah, just go for the money, mate. You'll be fine. In fact, go for the money for me. Right. Next player, big money. West Ham are interested. Valencia are interested. We're looking at €29 million, apparently. Maxi Gomez, Terry. Now, pros and cons of him. He played a lot of minutes, second only to Hugo Mayo, Celta Vigo. He's a Uruguay international. He's a big, heavy guy. He's 22, he'll be 23 in August. He looks much, much older than that, doesn't he? Not massively tall, very strongly built. So, pros and cons of Maxi Gomez for big money.
You've just described the ultimate centre forward for most of the teams in the Premier League. And those types are few and far between. I think his buy cost, did you say it was
29 million euros, I think, yeah.
All day long, at that price, 100%. You're looking around for the best centre forwards of that age, that generation, that age. The better ones are all older. Mbappe being the exception, of course. Harry Kane is slightly older. No, 100%. I'm amazed that no one has just paid that and done it. Valencia are really pushing hard. Santimina is being linked with a move back to Celta as part of the deal. But I'm amazed that a Premier League club hasn't just gone and paid, you know, even before this window, because he ticks every box a Premier League club is looking for in terms of striker. You mentioned he's strong, his size, his maturity, his goals record. He can play up front on his own. He would prefer to play with someone like Aspas, you know, the equivalent off of him and around him. He wins headers, he's aggressive, good finisher. Now, he for that money, it's an absolute steal.
Not concerned about a slight lack of mobility?
No, I first saw him at Brentford in a pre-season friendly, and I thought when John Guidetti had moved on and they replaced him with Maxi Gomez, I thought, oh my, you know, although they didn't pay an awful lot of money for him, but within a few weeks he looked in better shape. He obviously hadn't trained much before the game at Brentford, and as soon as the season started, he looked in much better shape. No, I think he's a big guy, but I wouldn't be too worried about his immobility. I think his mobility. I think he's an outstanding candidate to play in the Premier League. If you're asking me, John, about he was 60, 70 million, totally different. Yeah. But at that price, I think it's a must when you see the prices of, you know, some of the other players that go around. We're talking 29, 30 million euros, knock that down a little bit into pounds. Championship players are moving for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I would definitely pay that money and bring him to any club that I was involved in recruiting players.
Okay, here's another guy then with a clause at a mid-table La Liga team. Juan Jordan. He's been around a few years now, so he's relatively experienced for a young guy. I read that the clause is €13 million to get him away from Eibar. So that one, it seems like worth doing, doesn't it? Tell us about Joan Jordan.
Yep, no, he's I would say describe him as a versatile midfield player in the fact that we've seen him play all positions, haven't we? We've seen him play in an orthodox central midfield role in a 4-4-2 for Eibar. I've seen him play in wider midfield positions. He's not a winger. And I've seen him play as the off the striker. So I think he's really versatile. He's hardworking. He's aggressive. But above all, I think he's got real quality in terms of his passing, his touch. At that price, again, an absolute steal. I would do that all day long. So I'm looking at the money I've spent to bring in the players I'd like. It isn't too much, you know. Jordan, I'd bring in Maxi Gomez. I think he would be a steal. Pablo Sarabia, if you could get him in as well. You're talking about 40, 50, 60 million for those three. I think they represent fantastic value for money. And I think Jordan is clearly going to be leaving Eibar. Sevilla are desperate to try and pin him down. But the one we keep seeing is West Ham, who have got the influence of Mario Husillos, I think his name is, the director, former director of football, Argentine, at Malaga. So he knows La Liga, he knows the market, he knows the market in Spain. So he's the why they signed Pablo Fornals, why they're chasing Maxi Gomez, and why they're getting Joan Jourdain. So he clearly knows, you know, the market, knows the players, and I think he's picking the right ones if he gets them.
Okay, well, let's make it a magnificent seven in this transfer watch. Another one from a club who big clubs could bully out of a player, Gené. So Gené Dakonam from Getafe. He's a hipster's choice these days. You and I were onto him straight away. I remember the first time I saw him commentating on him, he cleared everything. The amount of times the ball went anywhere near the Getafe penalty area, he was the one who cleared it. He's a Togo international. He's 27. He's 5'10". All of those things scream, don't sign him for a big glamorous team, you know, because he's not an international. He's not playing at the Africa Cup of Nations, for example. The stats say he's exceptional. He won possession in the defensive third more than any other player in La Liga. So it's that he's a defender's defender. Gené, you're looking at €30 million. So what do you think, Terry? Where's your advice on Gené?
I think this is the toughest one for me because. Yep. I liked him when I thought he would be available for perhaps double what Getafe paid. So 7 or 8 million. I thought if he comes in at that price, good, solid, basic defender that loves defending, aggressive, good pace. The lack of height will be a concern for Premier League clubs. But just sometimes I look at players and I like them because I think they're only going to cost a certain amount of money. Once they get to the 30, and I've seen 40 million as well, I think the buyout clause is 40 million, but there's talk that Getafe might accept 30. Yeah. Of course they would. Mm-hmm. Of course they would. You know, Arsenal, Everton have come along, and there's €30 million being bandied about. Getafe will be rubbing their hands together, hoping that someone comes and gives that football club €30 million or plus for a player that they paid, I think, for about €4 million for.
Yeah.
So it opens up a different ball game. If you said to me, Gené, 10 million, 12 million, like Joan Jourdain, all day long, 30, 40 million, it'd probably be similar to Mario Hermosa, who Atletico are talking about spending 40 million on. They're a million miles away from being worth that sort of money, but I wouldn't be surprised that someone pays it for Gené. I wouldn't be surprised someone pays it for Hermoso. Atletico are linked with him. They need central defenders. I think that when you're scouting players and you're looking for talent, you have to have a bracket where you think they should fit in money-wise and never be afraid to, you know, no matter how good you think they are, if they don't meet your valuation, then step away from it. And I think, unfortunately for Gené, I think it's getting near that level when you're talking 30 or 40 million. So it's, I can understand why Getafe want the money, why they don't want to let him go. And they probably think someone might be tempted to pay it, particularly near the end of the transfer window. But I think there's a big question mark on the valuation of the player there.
Okay, so Gené is a no, or not at that price anyway, from Terry. So we'll leave it there. That is that's the sort of magnificent seven. Not all exactly magnificent, and Terry saying just be careful about chucking your money around. But there we are. That's why you'd make an outstanding director of football, Terry. Let's come back and in a couple of days we'll record another one, looking at some of the other and some bigger names as well, perhaps who. We'll decide whether they're worth it or not. We'll come back with those. So thank you for listening, and watch out for another transfer special soon.